As a designer, you know clients want it all. A stunning site that runs their business and scales with their success. But tight deadlines shouldn't mean compromising your vision. Wix Studio is built for designers like you. Plan sites in seconds with AI-powered site mapping, then design, starting in Figma or in the Wix Studio editor with precise layout tools. Then bring your vision to life with no-code animations, AI tools, and one-click responsive design. Design smoother and deliver sooner. Go to wixstudio.com.
Hello and welcome to the Press Start Podcast, Press Start Australia's weekly video game discussion podcast. I think I just shattered Kieran's eardrums. I'm sorry about that, Kieran. I'm your host, Ewan, joined today by my fellow gamers and co-hosts, James.
Hello.
Shannon.
Hello.
Kieran.
Hello.
And James W.
Hello.
I realized, having said James, I probably should distinguish between the two of you. On the show today, we're going to discuss our preview of Assassin's Creed Mirage, Nintendo reportedly demoing the Switch 2, and Starfield's successful launch. But Kieran, I want to start with you. As you reviewed Goodbye Volcano High, tell us a bit about the game and what you thought of it.
Yeah, I mean, it's one I've been keen for quite a while, since I think they first showed it at a State of Play or one of those presentations, and then it kind of just launched out of nowhere not long ago. And it's like shot up straight to the, like, near the top of my list of my favorite games this year by far.
Wow.
It's like, on the surface, it's obviously something we've seen before. Like, it's a narrative, like, dialogue driven, you know, sort of 6-ish hour journey. And it's got musical elements to it. It's got rhythm elements to it. So, I mean, obviously we just had Stray Gods launch. We had, We Are OFK came out not long ago as well. So like it's a concept that's already been done a few times in recent memory. But this is definitely like the best version of that I've seen. It essentially like gives you like a mixtape of really cool music, and then also gives you the story behind all of those songs, 'cause you're sort of playing through that story as it happens. Which I think is a really cool way to sort of present that. And it's also a story about anthropomorphic dinosaurs in like the weeks before the asteroid hits and destroys them all, but they live in like a modern day city. So it's like super, super unique, super cool. Like the writing is really, really sharp. Up there with like the best representation of the way teenagers actually act and talk that I've seen in a long, long time. Yeah, I really, really enjoyed it. And the music is excellent. It's just, yeah, super good. So if you like story-driven games, you like indie games, you like cool music, it's definitely one to check out.
It sounds quite reminiscent of Life is Strange to a degree.
Very much that vibe, but 2D animation. It's also like, if you're looking at screenshots, it looks like a stock standard visual novel with just like static character art and conversations and stuff. It's actually really well animated. Like if you saw this on Netflix just play out and it wasn't interactive, you wouldn't sort of distinguish it from any other animated series. So I think that's really cool as well.
Cool. And it's only short, isn't it? I think you said it was like 6 hours or something.
I think, yeah, it took me about 5 or 6 hours to play through.
Okay.
And it's choice driven. So you can replay it and get different sort of situations and outcomes and stuff, which is cool.
Is it available on the Switch at all?
No, PlayStation and PC only at this stage.
Bugger. Yeah. May as well say now, I'm not going to be on the podcast for 4 weeks after this. I don't know if we're still going to get a video version of the podcast audio for sure, but we're all still figuring that out. But subsequently, I'm looking for games I can like take on the plane with me. Metroid Prime is going to be one of them you're pleased to hear, James. But I was wondering about what else I could maybe load onto my Switch. Sadly, Goodbye Volcano High, not going to be one of them.
Sorry.
But I'm going to have to find the time to play at some stage, anyhow, by the sounds of things, based on that rave review from you there, Kieran. All right, let's power on with the rest of the show. James W., I'm trying to regain my voice, but you traveled all the way over to Bordeaux, I should pronounce it correctly, upon Birdo. The invite. I'm sure throughout the course of this segment, I'll pronounce it a million different ways. You got to go hands-on with Assassin's Creed Mirage. How did you find the game?
Pretty good. You know, I think it's a really solid swing at
sort of what people remember Assassin's Creed being. I think with Assassin's Creed sort of as a franchise, we tend to remember those original games as a bit more stealthy than they actually were. They've always been a bit loud and a bit bombastic and a bit silly at times. But the Bordeaux team seems to have sort of tapped into that fan desire to have something that's a bit pared back, a bit more stripped down. It's that 20 plus hour or minus 20 hour campaign. You know, this is going to be like a very lean title. And based on what I played, which was sort of three different segments from the game, I think they've mostly pulled it off from what I've seen so far.
Nice. I guess like in terms of it being more stripped back sort of experience, did you still feel like it scratched every itch you would hope an Assassin's Creed game would scratch? Was there still enough there, or did it feel like this is kind of 25% of what I think of a modern Assassin's Creed experience as being?
Yeah, I mean, it feels like a separate timeline exists, and this was the game that they kept making after, like, you know, AC2 and sort of 3 and whatnot. Mm-hmm. And so in that sense, the way I remember enjoying Assassin's Creed, I got everything I needed sort of out of the slice that I got, and you can sort of see it being extrapolated out to work. I think if you come into the franchise with Origins and you've only gone from there, this is going to be a pretty harsh kind of left turn, which is, you know, a bit of a disconnect I think they're very aware of in making this, which is why it's been marketed the way that it has. Like, it's very vocally about being a smaller title. So I think as long as you're prepared for that, it's fine.
And it's obviously centered around Basim, who we've seen introduced before in Valhalla. I think it's kind of more of an origin story for him, if that's kind of accurate to say. What did you kind of make of him as a character, given his own title?
I put this in my notes, and I think Kieran has let it fly into my preview as well, but like, fuckboys are back on the menu for Assassin's Creed, basically.
Oh, right. Wow.
Yeah, he is. He reminds me very much of like an Ezio type. Like, this is that kind of very youthful, playful, very hotshot, sure of himself kind of young male character I feel like this franchise used to deal a lot in. And so again, it feels like another throwback in some ways. And I know he obviously ends up in some pretty dramatically different places by the time we get to Valhalla. And seeing what they've done here as like a coming of age story that they're also tying in with the mythology of the Brotherhood and where they came from in their origin point as well. From what I've seen, seems really good. And the performance by the actor, whose name I've already forgotten, unfortunately, fantastic as well. It's his first time in the role and he does a really great job.
And then the setting as well, kind of, I think it's 9th century Baghdad, if I remember correctly. How did that contribute to the game as well?
It was a pretty big part of what they were sort of showing us. So we spent the day in the Ubisoft Bordeaux office, basically. And I would say a solid half of that day was dedicated to the concept of recreating Baghdad. This is a team that seems to be very aware of the cultural significance of recreating such a specific intersection of like the golden age of the Middle East in a lot of ways. And so they seem to have done a really good job, but based on, you know, my understanding of it is very limited, obviously. But there's been a lot of cultural sensitivity sort of put into this, a lot of consulting with historians, and the way they've translated that into like a playable city, which I think they said this is the first time they've made just a playable city since like the one that was set in London. So it's been quite a while, right?
Syndicate, was that the one in London?
Yeah. Seems right. They seem really proud of the work that they've done here. They talked a lot about the way that, because the city itself has been mostly lost to time because of the way that sort of wars have played out in that region, there's a little bit of guesswork and a bit of creativity gone into the reconstruction of some of the architecture and whatnot. And so they were able to build it up with like a gameplay first kind of mindset. So that seems pretty cool.
I do admire how much effort they put into the kind of research of the history of things. And I think, was it when Notre Dame kind of burnt down, they were like lending their kind of 3D models and stuff that had gone into the making of the game because they were that sort of detailed. It's pretty incredible stuff. Last sort of question I had for you, feel free anyone else to ask any that you might have too. Did you get kind of much of a glimpse of the combat as well? I feel like the more modern iterations of Assassin's Creed have kind of strayed from the more traditional like assassin or kind of like ninja sort of play style and kind of introduced kind of more hand-to-hand combat. Like, obviously Valhalla was very Viking orientated, so you had battle axes in the mix and stuff, not traditional sort of assassin's weapons or ones you might think of as being in the hands of an assassin. Did this feel stripped back in the same way, I guess, the game's stripped back as a whole?
Yeah, I mean, it's very much built as a stealth-first experience, though. So, like, there is a combat system. I went through a small tutorial, and then I got into a couple of scraps during the actual match itself. It has a pretty generous parry window. So combat itself does feel good when you are forced to get into it, but you're not meant to be getting into it, basically. Like, if you are in a situation where you're in an open fight, you're going to die pretty quickly just because you'll get overwhelmed. And so instead, this is much more about, I think Bassam's got 8 or so tools on his belt, and so like smoke bombs, blow darts, very traditional stealthy kind of things, right? The idea being that you're not supposed to be seen or heard in this game. And so I think if you go in with that stealth first mindset, you're going to have a much better time, because I was watching, like, the guy next to me got into combat a lot. He was not having a great time. So it's, I get it. It's tempting, I think, with the way Assassin's Creed has gone, to think that you can just fight your way out of a, you know, a situation that you may have messed up. Every time I messed up, I just rolled back, basically, because it was easier and a better experience to lean into the actual mechanics they were giving you.
Yeah, I take it, like, otherwise, if you get caught, it's a matter of slipping back into the shadows again and trying to kind of reset the stealth meter, so to speak.
Yeah, exactly. And that works in much the same way as it has in all of the open world ones as well. Like, this is still running on the Valhalla engine, which I think is my only real, not red flag, but like a little bit of a like, oh, okay, that this pushback to stealth into parkour into an, smaller contained city, but it still has a kind of slowness that I found to Valhalla's controls as well. Like, it's a very meaty movement of Bassam. And it's not quite what you'd expect, I think, based on some of the footage. But if you can wrap your head around it, yeah, we'll see.
That's kind of what I was gonna ask you as well. Like, based on obviously going back to that era of like Assassin's Creed 2 and 3 and then Unity and Syndicate, like Unity especially really pushed parkour. And really kind of broke the mold in with a lot of those systems. Does this feel like it goes back to that era? Is it up to scratch with those sort of experiences?
Stylistically, yes. Like, he looks fantastic when he's, you know, doing his thing across rooftops and getting it done. In terms of actual controls, it is just a lot of that hold the stick forward and hope for the best kind of thing. There is a little bit of struggling with the pathfinding sometimes, because they've made a very, like, Baghdad is quite dense, and it's very much built with multiple pathways in mind, which means the sort of AI path detection gets a little bit wobbly, because you don't have the same granularity of control that Unity offered you with that kind of bouncing off of walls and stuff like that. You know, those games got very into that parkour, and this is again, it's that stripped back version of it. It doesn't feel bad by any stretch of the imagination, but there are going to be a couple of times where you just have to adjust to the feel of this one in particular.
Nice. Well, do go and check out James's full preview of the game over on the site now. And I'm sure in no time soon as well, the game will be out. It comes out October 5th, if I remember correctly.
Very close, yeah.
Yeah, so not far away at all. So look out for the full review when that does drop. But yeah, thank you for sharing your preview with us today, James. Onwards with the rest of the show, though, James. Other James, I should say. I'm coming your way next to quiz you about Nintendo reportedly demoing the Switch 2 to devs at Gamescom. Both Eurogamer and VGC have now corroborated rumors with claims that yes, Nintendo was indeed showing off the tech for its Switch successor behind closely guarded doors to developers at Gamescom in their business area last month. So James, my question to you, what do you think this means for this much discussed successor to the Switch? Is it perhaps more imminent now than it's ever been?
I think so. I also think, I don't know, I feel like it's always been kind of, you know, next year, right? We've kind of felt that. Although I guess, like, we talk about it every year.
I was gonna say it's next year every year.
So, yeah. But I don't know. Now, obviously, like, this is the first time I feel like, obviously, we've heard rumors of, like, developers being told to get their games ready or, like, the stuff on production or whatever. But I feel like this is the first time where, like, a few people have kind of said, yeah, we've actually seen one and it works. So, yeah, like, for sure, like, it's definitely closer.
If we're to assume, though, that this is the kind of first time developers have been shown it, which is obviously an assumption to make, because I guess you would take it that they would bring it to their kind of own studios first and foremost and get some stuff happening behind the scenes. And this is maybe them more opening it up to third parties. So perhaps, like, it's closer to launch than that might suggest. But could it mean
Nintendo,
that
it's so different, though, right? Like, I feel like so much of Nintendo's Switch's output is really carried by first party.
Yeah.
So like internally, like for sure, everyone's probably already seen it and is making games for
and
it.
And I don't, I doubt that like it was Activision and Ubisoft and such like getting taken to watch this demo. Like it was likely like indies and like smaller third parties.
Yeah, it's a very
That's
fair
just
point.
A guess though.
Yeah. What was particularly impressive, I guess, to the those that did reportedly see this is that Nintendo was showing off 2021's Matrix Awakens Unreal 5 tech demo, complete with ray tracing utilizing NVIDIA's DLSS technology, with the people supposedly having seen it saying that it looked comparable to the same demo on the PS5 and Xbox Series X and S. Shannon, to come to you as our kind of resident tech guru, unfortunately this podcast being recorded ahead of the iPhone launch, so this is as much of a tech time with Shannon as
for the one
today.
Person that asks will be very disappointed.
For those that are unfamiliar with it, what is DLSS, how does it work, and what advantage might it pose for the Switch 2?
Yeah, so it's essentially like AI upscaling. So, I'm probably going to butcher this, but instead of like using the raw power of a graphics card, like to actually, it's still doing that, but then it's using like tensor cores and AI to upscale the graphics. So, like from a core point of view, like it'd be rendering it at like 480p or like what the Switch normally is now, but then it'd be using AI within the chips to upscale that to 1080p. Which is huge. Like, it's come such a long way, even the last 2 or 3 years. The PS5 and Xbox Series X use AMD chips, which has its own version, but it's getting better, but it's still, like, quite a way behind NVIDIA, and sort of every time AMD gets a little bit closer, NVIDIA releases a new version. So that's the one thing that Nintendo has going for it. Like, it could very well release the Switch and it have less, like, raw power than the PS5 and Xbox Series X that make up. I think there's probably a little bit of, you can read into it in different ways, right? Like, I don't think it's going to be as good as the PS5 and Xbox Series X, but I feel like for what the Switch is, like you will take the 10% difference or 20% difference or whatever it is. But it's exciting. And I think as much as I've been talking about this for years, like James said, I think we'll probably be happy that they've waited until now to do another Switch. In saying that, it's Nintendo, so it'll probably be like a 5-year-old chip still, and we'll just accept it. But it's exciting. It is. It does feel like it's not like tomorrow, but like somewhat in the near distant future.
Yeah, I think it's a no-brainer to utilize the technology on a handheld because it's so well suited to kind of lower spec machines that you know allows them to render a game at a lower resolution natively and then make use of that upscaling.
100%.
And yeah, hopefully it gets around some of those technical limitations that you have on a handheld device that, you know, hold back something like Tears of the Kingdom and maybe make some of the frame rate inconsistent. But I imagine, yeah, I'm surprised to hear that they're getting visuals on there that's comparable to the PS5 and Xbox Series X. That seems like it's exaggerating the truth a little bit.
I mean, it's secondhand information. So,
well, like, yeah, but like every handheld does this, right? Like the Vita, I remember them talking about like console quality graphics on there and stuff. Yeah. And it is a bit of a drum up.
It doesn't. I'm actually, because I've used like the Asus ROG, like some of these handhelds that do get like 1080p 60 for like Forza Horizon and like even Starfield can run, like you can get 60 frames per second in your hands for Starfield. It's not 4K, obviously, but like, depending on what you want, like there's more flexibility there, so it's not as surprising to me.
But
I think
the price of those devices,
Nintendo's going to order. Like you've got to think of that as well. Like Nintendo knows they're going to sell. Well, they hope they're going to sell 100 million of these and not 5 million like the Wii U. But like they can take the loss. Like they can sell the loss, knowing they're going to make it back potentially.
Like a massive loss? Like how much are you thinking? Like
I don't have the breakdown here in front of me. There's more wiggle room. It's not gonna be as powerful, but again, the NVIDIA side of it, like really it'll help out with that performance.
You said you don't have the breakdown in front of you. Do you have it somewhere else?
I am Nintendo.
DLSS come to other like portable gaming PCs, or not that the Switch is a gaming PC, but gaming devices,
yeah, like laptops
DLSS and others. But like any, like the Aya Neo or like the Steam Deck, like DLSS isn't on here.
I think NVIDIA is like notoriously hard to work with. So like you wouldn't, unless you're Nintendo, like PlayStation and Microsoft won't work with them for whatever reason. So, yeah, I don't think so.
Yeah. We're going to get to NVIDIA a little bit more and some of their strangeness once we discuss Starfield in the next segment. But sticking with these Switch rumors for a little bit longer, it's also reported that prospective developers got a look at a version of The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild running on a much higher resolution. Have I got that right? Was it Breath of the Wild, not Tears of the Kingdom?
Yeah,
it's Breath of the Wild. I was just doubting my notes for a second there. Running in a much higher resolution and frame rate than the original Switch, although it was stressed that this was strictly for demonstration purposes and not an indication that that Nintendo is looking to update or re-release the game. Kieran, what games do you hope to see come to the Switch 2? Would you want to see games kind of remastered and kind of ported over, or would you like to see entirely new games kind of come and be exclusive to this system?
I think I'd just like to see like all of the games come to the system. I think viability is something that like
as safe answer. Like,
but like no, but like this, like when you think about the Switch, it's not viable as a primary console. Like if all you have is a Switch, you're missing out on something. You're missing out on like stuff that's on the PlayStation or the Xbox. You're missing out on like home entertainment stuff, like a Netflix app and all that kind of thing. Like I feel like with all that extra power, they need to make it more viable as the one console that somebody owns in their house.
For James W, how do you see it? Like, do you see this as being kind of like an update and an iteration of the existing Switch, or is it starting to feel a bit more like a new console in your mind?
I just don't know if Nintendo really cares about any of this. Like, they've always run their own race, right? They're very unique in that sense, in that the console wars and sort of the whole idea of what Sony and Microsoft are trying to do in terms of being a home entertainment system as well as this, like, you know, high-end gaming product. Like, Nintendo just doesn't seem to care. And so I do wonder sort of what their next iteration looks like when the technology is catching up to where it's at, especially now that we've got things like the Steam Deck on the market, right, where handheld gaming has, you know, starting to morph in really interesting ways. I don't know. I don't really have a horse in the race. Like, I love the Switch in theory. I just don't really use mine ever, which is like Zelda was kind of it, right? And then I just put it back down. It's a strange one, but this sounds cool. I hope it is as good as it sounds.
Yeah, yeah. I just don't find myself in situations all that often, like these coming weeks, I guess, being the only exception in like 4 years where I'm like reaching for like a handheld console. And
to Kieran's point, like if everything came to it, like Call of Duty, like if all the AAA games that we play, like it would be different, I think, if you could get like the 4K experience on your TV.
I don't think it would.
Because yeah. Like, it's not for
like
everyone.
A PlayStation. Like, if I didn't have a PS5 and a PC already in the house, then maybe. But I
don't know.
So, like,
I
I've already got the
playing games
so I don't
in bed.
A new console for that.
Like, and like
a PlayStation
Portal. Like, I just. Yeah. Whichever comes out first will win the race,
reason,
in my opinion.
The reason I do, like, play the Switch is to play the games. Like, that's almost kind of more important than new hardware at this point. Like, if they continued. Which is like, oh, it goes without saying, obviously, but
you can have both.
Glad to hear it.
If we invested as much time talking about upcoming Nintendo games as we
YouTube.
Did this console, then I'd probably be more excited. But like Tears of the Kingdom, like I parked everything and just like laid on my sofa next to my PS5 playing it handheld. I never
Why is your PS5 on
TV.
Your sofa?
You know what I mean? But like, I wasn't going out of the house and playing Tears of the Kingdom.
It's a different experience, is what you're saying. Like, it's not your
the game. Yeah.
TV experience. It's like away from a TV experience. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'll play on whatever screen you give me, Shannon, as long as the games are good. That's what I'm saying. I don't care about DLSS. Just give me good games. Says the guy who's really fussy about his settings on Starfield on PC at the moment, which I guess is as good as a segue as I'm going to get to Starfield. So let's stick with that.
You're a professional web creator who needs a platform that works as hard as you do. Wix Studio is built for you. Whether you're a designer, developer, or marketer, ready to amplify your impact. Build intuitively with advanced design features and AI-powered tools. Manage your clients and projects efficiently from one workspace. Scale with dynamic systems and fully managed infrastructure. Create exceptional websites with hyper-efficiency. Go to wixstudio.com.
I'm clearly very obsessed with it at the moment. I reckon I told Kieran I played about 10 hours of it over the weekend, which is kind of an anomaly for me. So very much enjoying my time with Starfield, and clearly so are a bunch of others, with 6 million players reportedly already jumping in. James W., I'm going to come back to you, seeing as we've not heard your opinion on Starfield as of yet. How are you enjoying the game thus far?
I reviewed it. I had a pretty good time with it. I think it's a very fun Bethesda game with those caveats that come to mind immediately in mind, right? I think that there are some systems in it that I don't entirely love, but the vibe and the tone that it went for, I was a big fan of. That review window where like all I could do was sit down and play it, I had a tremendous time with it. But I haven't felt compelled to go back to it since then either, if that makes sense.
Seeing as it's being out there in the wild for the better part of a week now, maybe even a bit longer, like what's been something that players have discovered that surprised even you, having reviewed it and spent all that time with it before it was out in the public?
I mean,
is there anything?
I don't think so. Like, I think it's very surface level about what's good about this game, right? Like, and anytime someone comes up to me and is like, oh, did you know this quest was really good? Like, yeah, they're good quests. Like it's a Bethesda game, you know. Like it's not a particularly surprising experience, I don't think.
I do think like the random encounters you get, like when you travel to a new star system for the first time, whatever, and someone hails you or whatever. People are like, oh, this crazy thing happened. It's like, yeah, that happens like to every player, like at some stage. It's not all that random an encounter. Did you see the exploit though, where people were able to get that high powered suit from the glass cabinet downstairs? Mm.
I love that sort of stuff in a Bethesda game. It's like when you could go downstairs in that first place in Skyrim and like break in and steal the bow and stuff. Like it's, you know, these things exist to be found and to be enjoyed, right?
Yeah, yeah. Kieran, what about you? Have you been finding your time with Starfield?
I haven't had enough time, to be honest. And I've made the mistake of looking at everything online and looking at what people are saying and doing and like restarting my game over and over because I wasn't happy with my experience based on theirs. So I think I'm on my like fourth character now, and I've just played a total of 4 hours. I will.
I'm just take it as it comes.
That's just my life philosophy, but
You can't restart. Yeah, exactly. So stop restarting.
Did you find...
The thing is like, you're just playing the worst bit of the game multiple times.
Yeah, it's true. It's true.
Like...
Yeah, I will say, like, without spoiling too much, like, the further you kind of get into it, as soon as you start visiting, like, temples and start doing all that that entails, and you kind of visit more cities and get a feel for, like, the different factions and stuff out there, like, the more distracting everything becomes, and the more like the kind of main quest line like sidelines itself almost, which I'm saying is a good thing because I was clearly enjoying all the side content that was on offer. Shannon, to come back to Tech Time with Shannon part two though, have you been following all the chatter around DLSS support not being included in the PC version of the game and modders then adding it in?
Yeah, so one of my good friends has like a 4090 setup, like as his main like TV PC setup. Oh, wow. It's like it's like he's
like in the entertainment unit in the living
room. Yeah, exactly. And he was obviously annoyed that it didn't have DLSS because I don't think the game is well optimized from what I have heard without it. But yeah, it's one of those odd ones where you just if you've spent $3,000 at a 4080 or a 4090, like you want that in every game, and it's just that annoying thing where even if you're a PC gamer, like you still have that element of not console wars, but like it's one or the other. It's rarely both, and I don't think that's not a good thing, particularly in this case where you're talking about like performance and the best on offer when you've spent a lot of money on hardware. But I think the mods are quite decent, right? Like they're giving people the performance they were after, and it's happened really quickly. So I don't really understand why it's just not a thing to begin with.
Yeah, well, it had plenty of people speculating that there'd been some sort of dodgy under the table
for sure
sort of deal with AMD. And
did AMD come out and say that they weren't stopping Nvidia from doing it?
I don't think anyone's like acknowledged it though, right? Like everyone's kind of denied there being any sort of.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, they've said like, oh, we're not, but they must be. I feel because if you're Nvidia. Or is it that they can't market it, so they're like, why would we bother putting in the effort? Which to me just seems like you're screwing over your own customers that have spent a lot of money on these.
I think it's only a matter of time before this like officially rectifies itself. Like there is this mod at the moment, which like I've looked at the implementation of it. It's a little bit kind of clunky. It's easy enough to install, but like it just basically swaps out the AMD FSR for the DLSS, and the settings all still look the same. So you're just going, okay, this is actually DLSS and not FSR.
It's just on, like, but essential. I couldn't imagine playing any PC game without either of those technologies now, because the drop is just so huge.
Yeah. It is hard. Like, I'm amazed the PS5 and the Xbox Series S like continue to do it so well, but getting 4K 60fps is quite a tough thing to do. And I'm able to achieve it on mine. I've got a 3080 installed, but I'm only kind of getting it by having it on low settings, I think. And then I'm getting like a solid sort of 60, which it still looks fantastic, I should add. And it's just the kind of optimization that GeForce Experience kind of set up. Can't say I've really had any issues with it, but if DLSS was there, I'd absolutely be using it, because it's come in very handy on every other PC game I play.
I do feel like it's probably NVIDIA just being petty, because I do feel like when games are marketed by NVIDIA, like, they still have FSR on the AMD side. So I don't know. I feel like it doesn't go both ways.
Yeah, I was surprised. I thought we lived in an age where both were there by default. But anyhow, hopefully it's only a matter of time. Speaking of saltiness, though, it wasn't the only saltiness surrounding Starfield. Some of it was obviously very notably amongst PlayStation players unable to play this game, with it being an Xbox and PC exclusive. Asked about Elder Scrolls 6, Phil Spencer was non-committal, saying that they would make the decision further into the development cycle. James, my question for you then is, that what chance is there of any future Bethesda game coming to anything but Xbox and PC? Has the success of Starfield solidified that Bethesda games going forward are exclusive titles?
It's hard to... Yeah. Anecdotally, I feel like I know a lot of people who are picking up hardware to play this.
Yeah.
Right? So I don't know. We can't obviously speak to the wider market or whatever. Sure. But I feel like it might be working for them.
Yeah.
So, like... And that this is for a game that's... Like, the brand... Like, Starfield, the brand, like, who? Do you know what I mean? Like, compared to, say, Elder Scrolls and Fallout, like, such big brands. Like, I can kind of see them sticking with it now, but who knows. Like, I know, I mean, I don't care. I've got all three. Like, I can play whatever I want, wherever I want, which is a nice privilege to have. But yeah, I think Game Pass is like quite an easy way and a cheap way to play it too. Like, even Shannon won't shut up about how you can play it on your Samsung TV. So, like, you know, like, and that's something I would argue a lot of people have Samsung TVs, so like, to be able to play it in this ecosystem is probably the best way to reach the most people. Obviously, behind the scenes, we still don't know, like, if money-wise that works out the same as, say, just selling 100 million copies in a week, like other people do certain games. Overall.
I think you're right. Like, I think certainly people are taking the necessary steps to be able to play this game, you know, be it buying a Samsung TV to stream it, or building a PC, or getting an Xbox. And I reckon in the 5 years plus that it's going to be before Elder Scrolls 6 materializes, Xbox would expect to be in a very different position than they are now, in terms of, I guess, like, the uptake of hardware, maybe the systems that are supporting Game Pass as well. I can't see... Like, given it blew my mind that Starfield had more concurrent players on Steam than Skyrim. Like, Skyrim is just like such this mainstay within the industry, and I would assume
Steam,
like,
people are paying for it, right? Like, that's
for,
is that
paying for Starfield? Like, yes,
not even Game Pass. Yeah, which is nuts.
So many gamers just love buying games. So even like Game Pass is great. Like, yeah, people, especially PC gamers, like, they just prefer buying something outright. So yeah. I think they're always going to have that piece of the pie.
I feel like people don't like the idea of playing a subscription, like a one-off payment.
Yeah, like even if it does work out better, I feel like PC gamers are just stuck in their ways and will just pay the money for it.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is great for
Xbox. I kind of sympathize with that, to be honest. James W., an offhanded remark from Todd Howard to Esquire's Shannon Liao left them with the impression that Bethesda's Indiana Jones will be revealed next year. What is your take on that?
I sure. I guess, like a bit of a shrug. I'm not really sure where the Indiana Jones brand is at. I mean, people liked that new movie, right? Like, that seemed to go down.
I think it was surprisingly okay.
Yeah.
I feel like I heard nothing about it.
Yeah.
No. Zero cultural impact. It's done. Time to move on.
Wow.
Rebrand
retire,
it.
Bitch.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, I mean,
kind of. Yeah.
Did you say retire, bitch? Is that in reference to Harrison Ford? How dare you?
I don't know.
Oh, no. It's
just
a meme.
The whole thing. The whole lot, though.
But yeah. It's done. No, it's a strange brand, I think, to try and revitalize.
So mad. I did get mad. Sorry.
Especially just from Bethesda as well. Like, it's such a strange swing from them. I personally wouldn't put money towards this if I was Xbox. This is not the investment that I would be making at this point. But I don't run Xbox, so.
Wow.
This if it's cancelled tomorrow, we know where that's starting.
I reckon a Machine Games produced Indiana Jones game sounds fantastic, and I am 100% in. I can't see this game kind of taking the form of like a first person shooter, which has obviously been their bread and butter for the last wee while. But yeah, I really hope this. Like, sorry?
Whipper.
A first person whip would actually be okay.
They'd have to be guns, would it? Like,
yeah.
Does he
I'm not
guns?
Saying there's whip no guns. Guns, but like I'm imagining like that this is their spin of like whip. A Tomb Raider Uncharted kind of style game. Or like,
yeah, I know what you mean.
You know, like a respawn,
like a respawn
pivot to third person action adventure. Yeah,
yeah,
that, exactly that. Kieran's with me with mechs. What do you mean with mechs?
Yeah, I don't know what the mechs.
Titanfall 3.
Oh, okay.
What? Jesus,
you're connecting so many random dots right now.
Yeah,
just leave them disconnected.
I think
then when they've got the whip engine sorted, they can finally make a Catwoman game that everyone's been waiting for.
That's what you mean. Yes. Whip is in Indiana Jones.
Yeah, like whipping. Yeah, yeah. Not like
what did you think that you meant?
Yeah. I was thinking work in progress sexually. For some reason. I've clearly been working too much. Kieran, are you excited for an Indiana Jones game? Like, could you see it materializing next year? No.
Oh, Kieran, that's not very positive of you. So,
if it's like Uncharted, I'll play as many of those as come out.
I'd rather it be Tomb Raider-y, to be. I prefer the Tomb Raider format, like the semi-open.
Yeah.
Although I did like Lost Legacy. Yeah. It was like Lost Legacy. You know.
No, I kind of agree with you. I can't believe I'm saying that, but I do.
What does that mean?
Well, like, I'm like, such an Uncharted stan, but like, I think in terms of the design, game design element of it, yes, the Tomb Raider games are better. Look at that. Who would have thought you'd hear me say that?
Too long.
Wrap it up.
All right, here's a rapid-fire question for you all, which is, very much a hard rapid-fire question, but I'm going to hold you to yes or no answers. ReadPop have reportedly parted ways with the Entertainment Software Association, which organizes E3, and the ESA have confirmed with the Los Angeles Convention Center that it won't be taking the show there in 2024. Seeing as I think we've established at this point that E3 ain't coming back, instead I want to ask, yes or no, does the Summer Game Fest kind of June period, does it have an exhibition floor next year? Kieran?
No.
James W?
Not next year, but the year after.
James?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Do you know what the question was?
yeah, I do.
Shattered?
It has a very small industry one, but I feel like I feel like that serves
open
the
to
purpose
public
what it is. So no, I think it's too much for Big Jeff to delve into.
I agree with James W. I think no next year, but the year after that, I'd watch out.
I agree.
Wow.
Watch your back, Jeff.
Yeah, exactly. Indiana Jones will be there.
Think about how many opportunities someone would like have to run up to him. Like,
exactly. He's never going to be in a public space again from this
with
point
a hat on. And a whip and be like, guess what I'm announcing?
George Bush.
And then,
What the Wiki is the Press Start podcast game show where the previous week's winner reads part of a Wikipedia page for an unknown game and we, the contestants, must guess the game. A point is awarded for each correct guess with the round ending after a person takes home 2 points. Last week, taking home those 2 points, it was James. He moved up into first place on 24 points. Brody just behind on 23. Shannon, Kieran, and myself are all tied on 20 points in third place. Harry's on 1 point, and James W. nil pois. You know, if you score a point today, James, I won't get to say nil pois anymore. We're going to have to bring someone else on the show only for them not to be awarded any points, so they never invite them back. But James, as last week's winner, you are in the hosting chair today. Take it away.
Thanks, Yui. Glad to be here, as always.
Samantha returning as our guest game giver.
No, she isn't. I actually forgot that I was doing this until about 30 minutes ago. So let's go. Who's ready? Everyone?
We are so ready, James. Ready.
Good.
Are you ready?
Great.
Yeah, that's the biggest
absolutely.
Question.
The question on everyone's lips. Anyway, the game carries on the style of gameplay from the previous game, in which up to four players simultaneously make their way through various levels. Collectibles can be collected by touching them, defeating enemies, or freeing captured captives. Collecting these captives unlocks new worlds, which can be played in any order once they're available.
James?
Along
Castle Crashers 2?
It's not. Is that a game?
Oh. Is it?
Was there a sequel to Castle Crashers?
There wasn't.
I thought there was.
I hope there was.
See, this is why I'm on 0 points.
Yeah, no, there isn't. I was excited then.
Yeah, anyway, I was like,
yeah, sorry.
For disappointing me, you're on negative one. You have to win three.
I'm really tempted to guess Alien Hominid 2 now.
Along with returning playable characters, players can also control a new female character called Barbara the Barbarian, her sister, and their cousins. The game features over 120 levels,
Kieran.
Including 40 remastered levels.
Kieran.
Yeah, I think you... Yeah, what?
Is it Rayman Legends?
It is Rayman Legends. Congratulations, Kieran.
Well done, Kieran.
Who knows where this will go now?
Is there a theme? You never do themes.
Maybe.
What?
I don't. Or if I do, I don't announce
games
them until after.
Games that don't exist, but should.
Okay, we ready?
Yep.
Yep.
Shannon, you ready?
Did James freeze for anyone else?
Yeah, you did. It was just you.
it was just you. You looked ready.
Okay. The game is an action-adventure game played from a third-person or first-person perspective. Players complete missions, linear scenarios with set objectives to progress through the story. Outside of the missions, players may freely roam the open world. The open world is comprised of an open countryside area and fictional counties and cities, making it much larger in area than previous entries in the series. Yes, Shannon.
Red Dead Redemption 2.
It's not Red Dead Redemption 2. It may be fully explored after the game's beginning without restriction, although story progress unlocks more gameplay content. Shannon, you're back in. Players use melee attacks, firearms, and explosives to fight enemies and may run, jump, swim, or use vehicles to navigate the world. To accommodate the map's size, the game introduces vehicle types absent in its predecessor, such as fixed-wing aircraft. In combat, auto-aim and a cover system may be used as assistance against enemies. I'm going to skip this for a bit. If players commit crimes, law enforcement agencies may respond as indicated by a wanted meter. Stars displayed on the meter indicate the current wanted level. Law enforcement officers will search for players who leave the wanted vicinity. The meter enters a cooldown mode and eventually resides when players are hidden from the officer's line of sight for a period of time. Yes, Shannon.
Grand Theft Auto San Andreas.
It's not Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, but you are back in because that was the end of the paragraph. Okay. The game is a 2013 action-adventure game developed by Rockstar North.
Is this Grand Theft Auto 5?
Shannon. I don't know. Shannon. I feel like Kieran was...
Just give it. Can I?
You and Kieran. Sorry, I didn't realize you were deliberating as to who said anything.
It's a null and void round for mine. It's a
Yeah, I'm taking that off because Kieran, like, you and cheated.
I'm fine with you and have it. If I gave you Spider-Man last week, then you can have Grand Theft Auto 5 this
don't
week.
Don't put me into this. This isn't
you started the sham round.
Yeah, literally a sham.
I'll take whatever sham points I can get. Round. I'll take it.
Okay. Should I give that to you and then? I don't know.
Sure,
I feel
go
bad.
For it. No, he can have it.
He literally just yelled over Kieran.
Yeah.
Actually, Kieran, no, you've got to be louder. No, we'll give it to you.
Okay. Learn to speak up, Kieran.
Okay. All right, sorry.
Okay, so Ewan's on one, Kieran's on one. Here we go. Let's go. This might be it. The game plays similarly to previous games and combines free-roaming gameplay of the franchise's 3D games with mechanics of its 2D side-scrollers. Oh, yep.
Assertive.
Is it Sonic Frontiers?
It's not, sorry. Up to four concurrent players may control characters. Similar to their appearances in previous games, each of the characters possesses unique special abilities and controls differently. One character has balanced running speed, one character jumps higher, one character can jump and briefly float,
Ewan.
While another runs the fastest. Yes, Ewan.
Shannon, next.
Is this Super Mario Wonder?
Can you queue? It's not Shannon. Super Mario Wonder.
Damn
yes,
it.
Shannon.
Super Mario Bros. 2.
It's not.
Let me know when I'm back in.
So
wait, no. Am I back in? Shannon.
Mate, you're more than out.
Actually, okay. Still
the player can select any of James the five characters to use. Can you hear me still?
I can now, yes.
You're all good.
The players can select any of the five characters to use before beginning a level, and up to four players may explore the same level simultaneously.
James.
Players also have a pick up, carry. Yes, James.
I can't remember the first part. Is it the Bowser's Fury game? Super Mario?
Shannon.
3D? World? I know it's Bowser's Fury?
Yes. So James gets that.
Oh, really?
This is a nightmarish round. Okay, let's go. We ready?
We are.
I think it's all over for Ewan, but we'll see how we go.
Oh.
The game is a role-playing video game with adventure elements presented in a third-person overhead perspective. It's also the first game in the series to include 3D function, and players control a young trainer who goes on a quest to catch and train creatures known as Pokemon and win battles against other trainers. Is no one going to say
Kieran.
Anything?
I can't remember!
Kieran, yes.
Is... Oh, shit. I'm just going to throw it out. Is it Pokemon X and Y?
It is Pokemon X
yes.
and Y.
Fuck, I would have got it too. How do you mess that up? I would have got it.
Yeah, well, all those games are 10 years old this year.
Ew.
So,
So they all released in 2013. Yeah. I guess that's how 10 years works.
Thank you for doing the math for everybody.
With that, let's bring it down towards this week's episode of the press. Oh, do you want to recap the scores? Where we left off there?
No, I just closed it. So you have to do that for me. But I can chat in the meantime. So James doesn't have zero anymore.
James doesn't have zero anymore. He's at one point with Harry. Kieran, you moved up into third place, just 1 point behind Brody. I'm in fourth with 21 points with that that surreptitious point that I got. Shannon in fifth. On 20 points. So certainly spicy. There's only, we got like consecutive run of points there. 24, 23, 22, 21, and 20. It's very good. With that, let's bring an end to what was this week's episode of the Press Start podcast. Subscribe to us on Listener or the podcast service of your choice. Follow us at press.au and visit the website at press.com.au where you will find James W's preview of Assassin's Creed Mirage. Thank you for joining the show today, James W.
Thank you for having me. I don't know why that came out that way.
I've done this outro very differently to how I normally do it, so you're excused for being thrown off. What's your Twitter? Where do we find you on Twitter? Or X
OMG or more friends? James. Twitter, X, Blue Sky, whatever. All of them.
Winning What the Wiki today, it was Kieran.
Yeah, H-A-S-H underscore B-R-A-U-N on, I guess, Google is probably easiest.
Doing a marvelous job hosting What the Wiki today. It was James.
Thank you. I agree. You can find me on X at James, ATJMZ.
And who is no doubt very excited for tonight's reveal of the iPhone 15? It is Shannon.
Yes, you can follow
and
me.
And he's frozen. Unless he just disconnected from the call in anticipation. Yeah, he's back.
Shannon Grixie, follow it. I don't know what you heard. Did anything come through? We'll find out.
I heard
And I've been your host, Ewan Roxburgh. You can follow me on Twitter at Ewan underscore Roxburgh. Thanks again for tuning in. And until next time, happy gaming.
Bye.
Bye.
As a designer, you know clients want it all. A stunning site that runs their business and scales with their success. But tight deadlines shouldn't mean compromising your vision. Wix Studio is built for designers like you. Plan sites in seconds with AI-powered site mapping, then design, starting in Figma or in the Wix Studio editor with precise layout tools. Then bring your vision to life with no-code animations, AI tools, and one-click responsive design. Design smoother and deliver sooner. Go to wixstudio.com.